And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, accepting the rejected. Accepting the rejected. Plus, we'll look at the seven deadly costs. I did not say the seven deadly sins. I said the seven deadly costs. Dr. Keith Peterson's going to be in the house to talk about the performance of Honegger's King David at the La Jolla Presbyterian Church in today's Facebook post, Crabby Blabby.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing, specifically in the Christian walk, as it relates to connecting to Jesus Christ and not getting caught up in the gunk of the world. Thank you. Politics, oh, that might be the gunk of the world. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. Oy vey. Feeling like a little Texas draw coming on there. Like, shalom, y'all. Like that kind of thing. Anyway, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. But stand by.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Today, a story of sacrifice. A woman carried her sister's twin unborn babies to term because the sister had suffered through 9 miscarriages. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Melissa Kaiser had lost hope of becoming a mom after having 9 miscarriages until her older sister stepped in. Kaiser had been trying to have a baby for 3 years when doctors finally suggested, after fertility treatments and IVF, that she should consider a surrogate. Kaiser told InsideEdition.com, "I was devastated because you think as a woman, we are literally born to do one thing, and that's to reproduce. And when you can't do that one thing, you feel like a failure. I didn't know if I could emotionally handle another woman being able to carry my child." That's when Kaiser's sister, Lisa Auten, offered to carry a baby for her. Auten told InsideEdition.com, "I couldn't stand watching Melissa go through loss after loss. She hurt so badly, and she just wanted a child so bad. If I could help give her a family, then I was going to do it." Doctors recommended that the sister have 2 embryos implanted. No one was expecting both to take. But then came the news. It was twins. The baby girls, Tierney and Ashlyn, are now 6 weeks old. The sisters, however, are still going through the process of getting Kaiser listed as their official mom due to specifics in Nebraska law. although the twins are biologically Kaisers. Auten was listed on the birth certificate, and Auten has to relinquish her parental rights to allow Kaiser to adopt her children. These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This first segment brought to our good friend by our good friend Steve Wheeler from Whitefields Ministries. Steve Wheeler, en route somewhere all over the country on a plane with his wife, Coral. He did send a picture on Facebook. They got in the first airplane and the engine didn't work. Now listen to this. So Steve took a photo of the plane, which they tried to jump the engine with cable, like car cable jumpers. And I think at that point he was praying that they would just put him on another plane, which is exactly what they did. I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to go on an airplane, and they're bringing out, like, jumper cables. I'm thinking, I got to go eat at the terminal or something. Anyhow, I'd like you to be in prayer. This is the kind of stuff I think that happens to Steve a lot. I'd like you to be in prayer for him as they are traveling throughout the world right now, him and Coral, to help encourage rural pastors financially, spiritually, emotionally, and just from an educational point of view. We really think that's a fantastic ministry to support pastors all over the world who aren't getting support on a regular basis, and that's a big part of what Whitefields Ministries does. We encourage you to go to whitefields.org. I've already asked you for you guys to take care of a well. You've already done it. I'm not asking. I'm just asking you to pray for Steve and Coral, because anytime you start a trip and they need jumper cables to start the airplane, you know it's going to be an interesting trip, don't you? Okay. All right, let's get into our very next element, by the way, and that is called What's Bugging Me? Okay, that is brought to you by Ecola Termite and Pest Control, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. By the way, EcolaTermite.com, EcolaTermite.com, 800-332-BUGS, bugs, 1-800-332-BUGS. I'll tell you what's bugging me. I want to be honest. Here's what's bugging me. Ready? I went out with my son. Middle child came in from out of town. We went out for dinner last night. We went to a burger place. I'm not going to say what city. I'm not going to say the name. Here's what's bugging me. Anytime you get a burger that has the title The Matrix Burger, it should be a phenomenal burger. Stop looking it up. Here we go. I went to this place for a burger. I got The Matrix Burger. Let me tell you what's bugging me. The Matrix Burger. It was not very Matrix-like. My wife turned to me as we were getting in the car after we paid for parking and said, not as good as In-N-Out. Oh, man. Yeah, but that burger was $9, and the In-N-Out burger is a couple of bucks. You know, cheaper is not always worse. That's $7 later. That's what's bugging me.
Like I saw that. An article where Five Guys is now taking the spot as number one favorite burger chain in California.
Is that right? Wowzer.
All been
right.
In-N-Out for like a decade.
Yeah. Well, In-N-Out. I like In-N-Out. I remember the first time I ever had it, visiting California in business, and went through In-N-Out, didn't have any idea what it was, put that burger in my mouth and went, whoa. That was a whole other planet. All right, let's get into our DDD. Our DDD called Accepting accepting the rejected. By the way, I think that'd be a great church motto. accepting the rejected. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Here you go, folks. The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Let me explain to you where the cultural break might be. You might be thinking, oh, a tax collector is somebody that is simply working for the IRS somewhere in Utah, like Ogden, Utah. You'd be incorrect. The tax collectors, which collected taxes for the Roman Empire as well as collecting tax for certain transactions in the Jewish community, were tremendous thieves. If a tax was a certain amount to the tax collector would be able to keep anything above that amount. So if the tax was a dollar, if they collected $10, they got to keep $9. And that's how come they were all wealthy, because of the extortion, that they wouldn't let people pass or use different resources without their approval. They were the worst. And then the sinners, you'd think sinners, that's everybody. Try again. Sinners in this case is much more connected to, especially from the other gospels, prostitutes and drunkards. It is, in fact, what you think. It is the lower level or the lower tier of society. It's just what it is. And these are the people that are gathering around. And I want to point something out to you that's really important. Listen to what the text says, because this is the big miss. The tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. These aren't sinners just sitting around in their sin. These are people that are listening to Jesus. They're listening to what Jesus has to say. They're listening to his teachings. And the Pharisees and the scribes, who are the religious clean in society, these are people that are the religiously clean, you know, like a lot of Christians think they are above the rest of the planet. They think, well, I'm just clean. I'm good. Nobody else is good. But here Jesus is welcoming people that are just listening to Jesus, and the religious prideful, you know what they're doing? Get this. They're complaining about who God is accepting. Ouch. They're complaining that instead of being engaged in their drunkenness and the prostitution or in their extortion, that these people are hanging out with Jesus, listening to Jesus. They're not just going about their sin. They're stepping out and listening to Jesus Christ. And the religiously prideful don't like it. If we ever, as Christians, get to the place where somebody walks into our fellowship and they are not as sprucey as us, and they get the back row seat, we blew it. It's over. You just shut it down, because that's not a church anymore. And here, Jesus is doing two things. He's welcoming them. Listen to what the complaint is. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. To welcome somebody means to open your arms to receive them in. But watch this. To eat with them is the highest social form of fellowship. And Jesus did not only open his arms to the tax collectors and the sinners, but he ate with them, which was a strong step of intimate friendship connection. And the Pharisees and the scribes were going nuts. They were going crazy. I'm just trying to think of people right now that are going crazy in society because they're so full of pride. Yeah, kind of like the press. But here's what I'm trying to say. The idea here is to understand that the religiously prideful were upset that God was accepting people. And God was not just accepting people through the actions of Jesus Christ, but having fellowship with them. We should never be so arrogant as to complain about who God does or doesn't accept. But again, these sinners were listening to Jesus, not just going about their business in sin. Therein lies the big difference. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back for more. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Sissy Graham Lynch was recently asked, "What's the most important thing you learned from growing up as Franklin Graham's daughter?"
And without a shadow of a doubt, I would say to never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My dad has taught me growing up, you are going to be a stench in the world's nose. They will hate you. And I say, that's okay. Bring it on. We have to stand boldly.
And Sissy has been standing boldly. From defending her faith in college to praying in Jesus' name at this year's presidential prayer service.
We cannot back down. We especially cannot back down from the opportunities God gives us. We can't run from them. I pray we're never ashamed of the gospel. I pray we run to those opportunities. And may we remember the power the name Jesus brings.
Sissy Graham Lynch isn't ashamed. If you'd like to learn more about sharing your faith, go to findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The early church defenders of the faith stood firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we today up for the same task? This is Jim Garlow. How would you explain the basics of the Christian faith to someone whose thinking is thoroughly pagan? Here's what one early apologist wrote. As for the Christians, they trace their origins to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is confessed to be the Son of the Most High God, who came down from heaven, born of a virgin, and took flesh. This Jesus was pierced, he died, and was buried. And they say after 3 days he rose and ascended into heaven. They believe God to be the creator and maker of all things. God used their clear statements to maintain pure biblical doctrinal truth so that the church would remain alive and well through the tumultuous early centuries. Can we do less today? There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasul. Just on the other day, I mean, what a great job Sam did. It was really good, wasn't it? We had Sam on, and what Sam was doing was just talking about not just the approach in real estate, but his own life in faith as a Muslim, going to his niece's wedding, where everybody there in, I think it was Chicago, was Muslim, except for him, and they knew it. And it's just like, wow. But he was there as a shining testimony. What a blessing to know a brother like that who will do things for family because of his love for the family, but stand firm in his faith. Love that about Sam. Here's what I want to really emphasize to you right now. If you are selling your house, and in selling that house, you need help. Dave, I need help. Why? I don't have a front door. Always good to have a front door if you sell a house. I think so. Using beads and stringing them up and having a fake dog in front of your door probably won't restrain anybody. Just my guess. So what you want to do is get that fixed up. Sam has a Fix-It program. Pretty interesting name. Fix-It. He will forward up to $25,000 on a house that you list with him if it needs work. And then when that house closes, he takes the money back out at the close of escrow, doesn't charge any interest, and helps the house sell faster, helps the process move faster, and helps you get through it. That's what you want in a real estate professional. You don't want somebody who's thinking and guessing and hoping. You want somebody who's knowing and doing and serving. Yeah, I just made that up. That's a good line, though. Here's the bottom line. ThinkSam.com. How hard is that? Not. ThinkSam. When Sam and I first got together years ago, I said, I love the URL. He goes, why? I said, because I could remember it. So the why? ThinkSam.com. Phone numbers I'm not so good with. 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM. And if it is not for you but for somebody else, then Tugboat Todd and I say,
send him to Sam.
There we go. That was very well done. I'm telling you, you're up for a Grammy. That's it. There you go. All right, let's get into our second DDD. Do we have a sound or something? We have a sound for this one, the seven deadly costs. What do we got?
And it's going to cost you something extra.
It's going to cost you something.
It's going to cost you. Do you know how much that cost us?
Do I know what cost? Yeah, I know what they cost.
It's going to cost a fortune in fudge.
That was excellent. Did you put that montage together, all of it?
Yes, I did.
Was it one of those from the Glengarry thing?
Yeah, good call.
I caught that, right?
Yeah. Premium leads. It's going to cost you.
Yeah, it's going to cost you. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. Luke 14, 25 through 27. We're going to deal at the heart of the teaching, the heart of the teaching on the seven deadly costs. Here we go. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. What? Listen to that. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, wife or children, brothers and sisters, yet even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is intense, right? Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, if you're coming after Jesus, you're a believer or a follower in some capacity. He's like, yeah, you following me? Here, I gotta lay the law down here. You follow me? Good. Let me give you this understanding. What is that understanding, Jesus? If you, in your pursuit of me, if you come to me and you do not hate your father or mother. Now, when Jesus uses this phrase, it's called a hyperbole. Some people call it a hyperbole, but that's wrong. It's a hyperbole. And a hyperbole is an exaggerated statement or claim not meant to be taken literally, but to be used to make a point. So what kind of point would Jesus be making by saying, if you come to me, you're going to have to hate your mom and dad, you hate your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters. He's talking about in comparison to you and your devotion to Jesus, you have to put Jesus on such a higher scale that it's not even in the same ballpark. Again, and I've been on this show and I've been critical of this, we've had candidates that have gone out there and said, well, it's family and it's faith and then it's friends. And that's wrong. It's faith and family and friends. And we know this starting in the Old Testament by recognizing that God required absolute responsiveness from Abraham by being willing to yield up his own son, Isaac. There is nothing that gets in between you and God. That is the number one place. And Jesus, using a hyperbole, is making it very clear. Look, and you're going to engage with me, I have got to be at the top or there is nothing. Now, I just want to take a short moment and go through that list he gives. He says, you have to love me so much that in comparison, it's like you don't love these other people at all. And then he lists seven persons. He says, your father. Some of you have wonderful fathers. Yeah, you can't love your father more than you love Jesus. Your mother. Some of you have wonderful, wonderful mothers. My mom was fantastic. I can't ever have loved her more than Jesus once I became a follower. My wife, best friend in the world. She's my rock. She's my friend. She's my everything. We do everything together. We've only spent one night apart in our entire relationship. And it's like I just can't think of anybody else on the planet I love more than her. But compared to my love for Jesus, she has to sit on the sideline. My children, what wouldn't I do for my children? I think you all pretty much know. One, I dearly love my children and would give up my life for them. Two, I'm still extracting what they owe me for raising them for 30-plus years. So I can't wipe them out yet. I got to get my money back. But here's the bottom line to that. The bottom line to that is I can't love my children more than Jesus. My brother is one of the key people in my life. He led me to Christ. I can't love my brother more than Jesus. I can't love my sister more than I love Jesus. That one doesn't seem to be as hard for me. But here is the one that's really tough. Jesus said, yes, even your own life. I can't love me more than I love Jesus. Uh-oh. Now we're in trouble. Trouble territory. And he says it a second time, the me part, because he says, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's a double for me. I can't love me. I can't love me. By the way, the word carry in the Greek is in the perfect present tense. It means to continually carry the cross. I have to continually carry the cross and deny myself in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Am I going to do that perfectly? No. But do I recognize what that goal is? Yes. It has to be this way, that my pursuit and my passion is Jesus and then everything else. But if I can get that right, everything else will fall into place. So here's the challenge for all of us, not just for me, for you too. The level to which we love the Lord has to surpass father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and ourselves. And double for us. That is what the Lord requires of us who are followers of him. Got that? Get that? Keep that and hold that. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. We got Dr. Keith Peterson going to be joining us on the air. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The La Jolla Presbyterian Church Chancel Choir and a professional orchestra present Arthur Honegger's King David, happening this Sunday, May 21st at 4 p.m. This unique and creative work, including soloists, narration, dance, and media, vividly retelling in word, song, and music the life of King David. Delightfully varied musical styles, from classical to jazz, and from Broadway to Gregorian chant, Honegger brings to life the highs and lows which David experienced, from the victory over Goliath to the death of David's sons. No tickets are required for this free event. Call 858-729-5511 for more information. A reception will follow the concert in Fellowship Hall this Sunday, May 21st at 4 p.m. La Jolla Presbyterian Church is located at 7715 Draper Avenue in La Jolla.
Ready for a night of fun and laughter? San Diego Christian College and One-Eyed Possum Production presents Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live. A one-night-only event, Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. Enjoy clean, family-friendly comedy featuring Taylor Tomlinson, the finalist in Last Comic Standing, and a special guest appearance from Comedy Central. Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live will be held at San Diego Christian College in Santee and emceed by Josh Lawson. VIP and general admission tickets are on sale now, starting at $25. Seating is limited. San Diego Christian College is offering a special discount to alumni and students. 100% of the proceeds from Charity Is Fun Comedy Night will go towards San Diego Christian College student scholarships. Don't miss Charity Is Fun Comedy Night live at San Diego Christian College in Santee. For all the details and to purchase tickets, visit sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu.
One of the most misunderstood words in use today, especially among young people, is the word freedom. Too often, people think freedom means the right to do whatever they want. But I agree with the Bible teacher whom I heard give a better definition. Instead of freedom being the right to do what I want, freedom is the power to do what I ought. In other words, freedom is not the absence of restraints, because God's rules are always in place, and we are responsible for obeying them. Therefore, true freedom is when I have God's power to do what I should do, not what I want. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's freedom on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hanging out in the studio, Dr. Keith Peterson. He's going to be talking about, now we've got some pretty fascinating things, but this is Honecker's King David, and there's a concert that's going to be taking place at La Jolla Presbyterian Church. Is that correct? Is that the church?
That's right, on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Wow. All right, so it's this Sunday. So people that don't know, listen, see what today is? You've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday at 4. You got about 72 hours, right?
That
ballpark kind of realm?
Yeah.
All right, talk to me about Honecker's King David, and what is this about? We could give people kind of an idea of what we're talking about.
Well, great. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be on your show, David. Honecker's King David is based on the life of King David, taken from Old Testament scriptures, and it tells the different aspects of King David. We were just talking before the segment here how fascinating the life of King David is, one of the most important characters in the Old Testament. And kind of an action hero in some ways, the fight with Goliath, of course, and all the wonderful things he did for the Israelites as a warrior, fighting for God's kingdom, but also a very human being. And this piece talks about the frailties of his life, the imperfections as well, and the bad decisions that he made, and then how his heart would come back to God in times of penitence. So you get the highs and the lows of David in this particular presentation.
Very cool. So I'm going to assume to some degree, and if I'm wrong, just correct me.
Sure.
But that a lot of it has to, I mean, probably, you know, that part where he gets, you know, anointed by Samuel, you're going to be the king. Welcome to king school. By the way, you got to live in a mountain. I mean, it's not exactly the way most people envision seminary, maybe, but it was the way that God beat the Saul out of them.
So
that was a big part. And in those cases, in those starts, there was a lot of, that was a lot of the writing. That was, some of the Psalms coming forth about dark times and dark, hard moments, right?
And that's part of the fascinating part of David's character as well. He was kind of like the Renaissance person back in those days. He was the athlete. He was a great warrior, of course, very courageous person. But he was also an artist. He could write poetry. He could play the harp. He could sing songs. And I kind of think that nowadays he might be the all-star quarterback on the football team, and he'd also be the tenor in all of the lead tenor in all the musicals, and just a well-rounded person who was loved by everybody until, of course, King Saul started to get jealous of his popularity.
Yeah, that therein lies. That, I think, was the great testing, ultimately the great testing part. So let's talk about the concert real quickly so that people can have an idea. Do we call it a concert? Do we call it a performance? What do you call it?
Yeah, it's a concert. The piece was written back actually in 1921, right after the First World War.
Wow.
And so it uses musical styles from back in that time that were considered very modern for that day. And it's interesting enough, it was written for the opening of a theater that had been closed since the First World War. And we're using the orchestration, the instruments that were for that very opening performance that had a small orchestra pit. So there are only about 16 instruments he could fit in there. And so we're using those instruments as we do this piece. And a lot of different styles reflected in Honegger's music. Honegger was a French composer, very eclectic. And, of course, American jazz was just making an impact on European music of the time. And so you'll hear some jazz, little Broadway styles as well, some modern music as well, all kind of mishmashed together in a kaleidoscope of different styles in this particular piece. The music's very engaging, very dramatic, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful segment when David dances before the Lord, lasts about 10 or 12 minutes, and lots of great choral moments that lead up to moments of extreme passion and emotional praise to God. Very, very exciting. And you think, wow, it can't get any better than this. And of course, then it doesn't, because you find out the things that go wrong. You have the Bathsheba incident, and then Nathan calls David on the carpet for that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then David has to come back and seek forgiveness from God. And then he has the challenge of his son Absalom coming to try and take the throne away from him. And you think that after all this great stuff that David has accomplished, he still goes running off for his life once again in his old age because his son is chasing him around. But then God delivers him again, and at the very end of his life, he has a life, and he looks back on a life that he feels well-lived and very grateful for.
Excellent. Excellent explanation, by the way. Very, very good job. Let's talk about a couple of practicals because we need people to know. So it's going to be at 4 o'clock on Sunday. What kind of attire? Is this a cadge?
You can wear whatever you want. Some people will be kind of dressed up in a suit. Other people, California casual. Some people will come in jeans.
So kind of just open.
Yep. There's no charge for the concert. We want this to be open to anybody who'd like to come and hear a different telling of David's story. It might be an interesting opportunity to introduce some friends of yours who don't know much about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Come and hear this story told. The concerts can be interesting and very engaging. We have, of course, a choir and a small orchestra, but we also have narrators who talk about the story. And our church has just been renovated recently, so we're going to show off a little bit of our new video and media capability by using some slides that project the different stories that we're talking about at this time and doing some camera work. So we're all excited about the opportunities that this concert is going to have for us.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let's talk about contact points to the church itself.
Sure.
What are the best ways, if somebody wants to look at this on the internet or if somebody wants to call, what do they do?
Well, the website at the church is probably the best place, La Jolla Presbyterian Church, and ljprez.org. That's ljprez, P-R-E-S.org, is the great website. And you can go to that to find the contact point through there. Phone numbers if you need to.
Okay.
But there will also be information on our concert series. If you look for concert series, you'll find the information about King David as well.
Okay, so ljprez.org. So LJ Prez for Presbyterian. I'm just going to assume that was the...
Yep.
Limb there.
No, you're right on.
Okay. All right. Now, I have to ask you, because it's in this more personal, but not, so when you started to, help coordinate this, were you like, oh, this is perfect. This is, I mean, how did you decide
on
to
this
do
piece?
This? Yeah.
Well, I've been at the church now for about 15 years, and I have a collection, a list of all the pieces the church choir has done, almost all of them, for the last 50 years in their concert series. And interestingly enough, this piece is one of the most frequently done, but we haven't done it for 30 years.
Wow!
But in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, it was done five or six times, programmed five or six times. And I'd never actually conducted it before. And I thought, well, there's got to be something to it if they're doing it once every 5 years. And so I figured it'd be time to pull it out and look at it. And then with, like I said, the new capabilities that we have in our renovated sanctuary, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be fun to bring a visual aspect to this as well? And Ron Bowles, our worship and arts director, and his spouse, Raina, have really worked hard to put that end of it together, because that's beyond my pay grade to figure out that stuff. But they've done a great job putting all of that together. So it'll be kind of a multimedia experience that we're really looking forward to.
So you guys, now you've run through practice after practice
yes.
at this point. I mean, we're not going to sit there and say, yeah, we're running practice first time tonight, Dave. We're just hoping it all works.
No.
So you've seen it, and so I'm going to ask you, because you still have to perform it, but you still have to observe it.
Yeah.
What was your impression as you observed it all coming together, like
brought forth as a communication. What did you think? What struck you?
One of the things that strikes me again is that the more you get to know these works of art, the better you can appreciate them, the more they can impact your life. And so the more I rehearse it and the more I get that, oh, here's my favorite part coming up, the more emotionally engaged I get with the whole piece. And as I said, the piece has moments of great passion and excitement. But it's also interesting because it was originally written for a play. There's some moments where the orchestra by itself carries the drama, if you will. And so you'll have the March of the Philistines, and you don't see it, and the choir doesn't sing about it. You just hear the orchestra being the March of the Philistine or the March of the Hebrews.
Is that how it was written? Was it written that way?
Yes, it was originally written as incidental music for a play. And it was so successful that when they opened it up in Paris, it ran 100 nights in a row.
Wow.
People kept coming back to listen to it. And so a couple of years later, Honegger and the playwright got together, and they put it into a concert version where instead of having all the actors saying dialogue, they used narrators to carry the idea of the story. And then Honegger orchestrated it for a larger orchestra.
Wow. I find that just fascinating.
Get to know about these pieces, the more interesting it is. And this is the piece that sealed Honegger's reputation as an international musician back in the 1920s.
Wow. So now how many concerts do you guys, did you do 1, 2, 3, 4 a year? Like, what are the majors? Is it one a year?
Right. Well, the concert series usually has 4, sometimes 5 programs a year. Sometimes they're individual artists that will come in. But our choir performs on 2 of them. We have a major Christmas program every year. We do 2 performances of that. And then our spring concert is something that lets me be a little more creative sometimes. And so we've done traditional things like Mozart's Requiem or Vivaldi's Gloria. But here we're doing a wonderful presentation of this more modern piece, like I said, with some visual aspects as well.
Yeah. Do you love what you're doing? I mean, you just seem like you beam from it. It seems like you just love it.
I get energy from it. I get energy from interacting with the people, with the music. I always tell people sometime they're 7 o'clock at night, I roll up to the church. I'm going, I don't have any energy left. God, please help me find something for these people because they're coming from their jobs all over the city and I need to have something for them. And within 10 minutes, we're laughing, we're having a good time, we're singing, we're physically engaged, and we're singing great music about the truths of God and God's important work and love in our lives. And I always end the rehearsal uplifted by being with God's people and singing about God's truths and love for us through beautiful music, a variety of different styles. We do a little bit of everything at the church.
Very cool. What's the address for the church?
It's 75, you know what? It's on Draper Avenue.
7715?
Thank you. That's it. It's too close to my home address.
I got it right here. Just find it. Okay.
7715 Draper Avenue. I know how to get there.
Okay. That's the key. You need to be able to get there. Okay. So we've got LJ Press, P-R-E-S for Presbyterian, ljpress.org. And if you're going to have any kind of like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here, you just go into Google, type in La Jolla Presbyterian Church. I have a feeling the first 3,600 of them will be probably the right one. I don't know.
That's right. And again, free concert, bring your friends. We just wanted this to be an open experience to bring the community together and to shed light on one of the Old Testament's great characters.
Excellent. And it's a gift to the community, and it's at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and it's free. Let me ask you a quick question because somebody's going to send me an email inevitably in the next 10 seconds. Childcare, what's the deal on that? Because I need to know.
That's a good question, and they'll have to call the church to get the definitive answer.
Okay, get the info off the site, right? Okay,
right.
And that's just important because people are saying, what about
absolutely.
That? What's going on?
Sorry, I don't know that information. That's I should have had it.
Quite all right. So Honegger's King David, you have this opportunity on May 21st, 4 p.m. It's a free concert. Why not? I mean, look at, I'm going to say this rudely, but it's okay. Hey, there's not a football on. Not even any good sports.
That's right. No distractions.
The Red Wings
right
aren't
now.
Into hockey. I mean, this is just all killing me.
Right.
So anyway, go 4 o'clock. Do something on
We'd
Sunday.
Love to
that'll
have you
be
there.
Bless you. We encourage you to do it. Excellent job. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate that, David.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The first question every child needs their father to answer is, what do you believe about me, Dad?
As a father, you have a powerful impact on your child as Dr. Meg Meeker explains on today's Focus on the Family Minute. She talks about your unspoken communication and how that affects your little one.
Every five-year-old girl or son, when they walk into a room, they're reading their father for clues about what he thinks about them. Does daddy like what I'm coloring? Does he like what I'm talking about? Does he like what I'm wearing? Does he like what I just built? Does he see me? You know, they're looking and searching for clues about what you think about them. And in short, they are, Dad, what do you believe about the person that I am? If you come home and you don't even notice me and I'm sitting in the kitchen and you walk right by me, you believe I'm not worth noticing.
Probably
you believe
thing.
I'm invisible.
Grabbing your child's heart will give them a lasting understanding of their value and worth. More parenting insights from Dr. Meg Meeker today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Say, have you noticed how people tend to compare themselves to others when evaluating their own righteousness? But God's standard is much higher. In fact, Jesus said you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God doesn't compare you to others. He compares you to himself. And apart from Christ, everyone fails that comparison because we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. But at salvation, God imputed Christ's righteousness to you. That is, he put it to your spiritual account. Therefore, it's your faith in Christ that made you pure, not your personal achievement. Let that truth bring joy to your heart and praise to your lips. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, real estate, thinksam.com. Thanks.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Great job by Dr. Keith Peterson. Excellent job talking about Honecker's King David. That is a free concert taking place on Sunday, 4 p.m. at La Jolla Presbyterian Church. That's pretty good right there. It's a free concert. I'm telling you, when Dr. Keith was talking about it, his face was lighting up. You can't always see that. That's one of the reasons we keep talking about maybe we should do a Facebook Live thing. But, he's just getting brighter and brighter and more excited because it's a passion. And you can tell. And we encourage you to check that out. I think it'll be a great blessing for you. And I do want to give our very own Tugboat Todd props. He came up with something that I did not realize and had not ever considered before. And that is this day, yesterday and the day before, we had three doctors on in a row, right? What did you have? Did you have a sound for that?
I did, but I don't have it anymore.
Oh, well, then went bye-bye?
Spies like us. Oh. Doctor?
No.
Doctor? 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 And doctor.
That's funny. Anyway, so we had Dr. Hayden on, and then yesterday, who did we have on? We had, you got to remind me.
Dr. Meekers.
And then Dr. Meekers, and then we just had Dr. Keith Peterson. So
three doctors in a row.
Wow. Wow, and I'm not sick. It's amazing. All right. Let's do our Facebook post. It's not very mature, and it doesn't seek to be mature. It seeks to make a point. And not everything has to be astute, theological, and spoken in such theological context that you just get really excited in your brain. Sometimes you can just go, oh.
Do we have any music for this? Let's do the music to play that. Go ahead.
Preparing the Krabby Patty.
I told you it wasn't very mature. It's called Krabby Blabby, by the way. Krabby Blabby. That's right. They're not creative titles. Sometimes they just make sense. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 28. 2 Samuel 19:28 says this, "For all my father's household was nothing but dead men before my lord the king, yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" This was Mephibosheth, and if you don't know, he was lame in both feet, and there was some question as to what he did when King David left and came back. But one thing's for certain, his relative was Saul, and David decided to have mercy on the relatives of, actually it was a relative of Jonathan, but also a relative of Saul. And it's really kind of an ironic element, but look at what he says. "All my father's household was nothing but dead men before the Lord the King, yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table." Here's the line. "What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" So I think you can figure out where I'm taking this. Krabby Blabby has to do with you and I being sinners before the Lord. We are sinners before the Lord, and we are Mephibosheth. We are lame in both feet. In fact, he takes us and carries us to the table. Our sin has so twisted us that we need to be carried to the table of God to be able to eat with him. And then he says this, and this is the line I want you to get. "What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" We have no right to complain. Somehow, in the arrogance of humanity, in the absolute arrogance, we feel that we are entitled to tell God what is good and what is bad, what is acceptable and what is not. As though he owes us an explanation, because after all, we're so important, the king of the universe should explain it to us. And yet we complain before the Lord about the things that take place in our life as though he's not doing a good job. Mephibosheth had it right. We are sinners. We are lame in our feet. We have to be brought to the table of God, and he takes us and brings us to the table, makes an accessible way for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're complaining? What is that phrase? Me thinketh thou protesteth too much? I mean, there's just that one element that it's like, Lord, how about this? Thank you. Forgive me for complaining as much as I do. I have no right. I'm sorry. That's a good start, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to take a short break. You'll hear Marty, then we'll come back right after that. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.